Team. You're on a team that's led by a captain that has never tasted defeat. He has never tasted defeat. He don't even know what defeat is. Aren't you glad to be on that team? Shake somebody's hand and say, we're on the winning team.
Play some more of these guys.
Thank you.
good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord? What a time we had here last night. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Well, the service was just great, and we're getting ready to do it all over again. I believe God's going to be with us in a wonderful way today, don't you? Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. My goodness, you can beat that all to pieces. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give him one more big old hand clap of praise if you love him. Bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Nate, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning on behalf of these prayer requests. Brother Terry sends in a prayer request for Sister Alice. Wants us to remember her in prayer. She's not feeling well this morning. Flu-like symptoms. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her as we pray today. The Lawrence family have an unspoken prayer request they'd like for this assembly to pray about. I want to pray for a sister, Ruth N. from Canada, who is in Nevada with her sister and has found out that she has Lyme's disease, cannot get back into the country of Canada without treatment, which will cost a lot of money that she doesn't have. She needs healing and a financial miracle, so we just commit that unto the Lord. Ask God to work that situation out. I want to pray for the Green and the Hensley families. Sister Joy Green's brother-in-law, they're not expecting him to live through the day, so let's pray for that family, that home, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Clara Moore needs prayer, severe pain from arthritis and other needs in her body, so let's pray for that need today. Brother Jackie Tipton sends us in to please pray for my aunt. Her name is Pauline Hill. She fell and broke her hip and her neck trying to get out of bed at the nursing home. Not sure at this time if she's strong enough for surgery, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request today, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. God's able to meet that need, isn't he? How many of you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Could we stand this morning, Brother Nathaniel, if you'll just lead us to the Lord? Let's invite the presence of Almighty God into the service. Commit all these needs unto our Lord. God bless you, brother.
Let's bow our heads. I mean, no, we have a Lord that wants to meet our needs this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, humbly, Lord, meek. Lord, knowing the word meekness means to be completely reliant on somebody or something, Lord. And that is us this morning. We are meek, Lord. We are completely reliant on you, Father. We bring these needs before you this morning, Lord, knowing, Father, so many people, Lord, they are crying out for help right now. But, Lord, we recognize, Father, they're tools in your hands, Father, that you know what it needs to get us to where we need to be, Father. So we are completely reliant on you this morning. We just bring these needs up before you. We lift them up. Lord, in the unspoken out there, Father, that people, they have something on their heart, Father. We also know you're working in their life, Father. And it's just your tender hand showing them what they need, Father. We just ask that they would seek you, Father, that they would find you, Lord. We know it's a promise that you've given us this morning. So we just commit this service, Lord, into your hands. We commit ourselves into your hands, Father. We just ask it in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Jewel Forney's wife, Sister Vanessa, and her daughter Tasha, they're here with some other folks in the service this morning. Want to welcome them, and maybe they'll have a song for us. If they do, we'd sure love to hear, ever how they could put it together, we'd love to hear them sing, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Is that all that we'd like to hear him sing? We would like to hear him sing, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. Brother Harry, I asked him if we could do this, and he said, are you sure that we've done this before? And I think we have. If we haven't, we'll find out real early in the song, won't we? But this is a good song. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, what kind of reaction are you going to have, Brother Terry, when you stand in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And he's the only reason that we're standing here today. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Harry as he sings this morning.
Well,
I don't know that I've sung it. I have heard it. And it's a good song. I actually heard that the crab man that wrote this song got some inspiration from the young girl, if you remember, the Columbine shooting, when the boy shot the kids and he went into that one room and he asked if they were a Christian, he was going to shoot them. And he asked the girl, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am." She knew she was going to get shot, but she was willing to stand for Jesus. I wondered how many times if somebody came in with a bullet, a gun, said, "If you're a Christian, I'm going to shoot you. What will we do?" But I'm going to be willing to stand, don't you? Help me sing it. I stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. And the reason that I'm standing in front of me, every battle that I fought will drain from me glory. I bow before His mighty throne and fall down. I've lost my way. So often I have stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you will lose it all, but He kept me. His amazing grace. Someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing in front of me,
every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall. Every kindred tongue and race and every
Every child of God that day will look upon His face, and the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together.
Aren't you looking forward to it?
This morning, I'm going to let you be seated. We're going to try to work three songs in this morning. Brother Larry has us a song. Brother Justin Reagan, if you'll come onto the platform, he has us a song. Sister Tasha, ever how you all have that arranged, if you'll come onto the platform at this time and be getting ready to sing. Well, I think we can do that. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for us. Let me make one final announcement in regard to the June 13th wedding. It'll be here at the church. Your daughter and your future son-in-law. They're getting married, right? All right. That's the 13th. If you're planning on going to the reception is going to be at the pavilion. If you'll go by and sign up over in the library today. Today's the last day that they have for you to do that. So if you want to go to the reception, please sign up so they'll know about how much food to prepare for, okay? Let's give these singers one more hand as they sing this morning. Do what, Brother Larry? You want to let them sing? Okay. You all come on and sing then. Ever how you've got it put together. Brother Justin, just sit down over there somewhere. Give our singers one more hand as they sing for you. Glad to have them with us, aren't we?
Standing up for my Jesus. held mercy. For all the love He's shown in my life, a simple thanks could never say how I'm feeling. Why I get tears in my eyes, and as for me, I'm gonna keep on. This world that's around me, I've got my mind on eternity. That's why
I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. You see, I'm ready to be what He called me to be. So I'll give up the world for the prize. Oh, that's why I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Like Brother David said last night, I feel some evil spirits getting disturbed now after that. They're running out. Like, get me out of this place. Lord, have mercy. Louis asked me to sing this again. I love playing this song. It's just fun song to, when you have a fun song to play, you just want to play it all the time. I'm going to talk on every mic up here and see which one I like.
The dawn is breaking, and I can hear your whisper on the breeze. The world is waking, and I am here to meet you on my knees. When I'm with you, my soul finds rest, 'cause I can leave it in your hands. The day keeps coming, pulling me a million different ways. I'm always running, but never seem to catch the things I chase. When I'm with you, my soul finds rest. 'Cause I can, Lord, leave it in your hands. Every sorrow, I leave it in your hands. Every sickness, I leave it in your hands. And my failures, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it in your hands. So I am laying the weight of all these burdens at your feet. No more waiting, 'cause you've already won my victories. In Jesus my soul finds rest. 'Cause I can, Lord, leave it in your hands. Every promise, I'll leave it in your hands. Every healing, I'll leave it in your hands. And my future, I'll leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it in your hands. And it's your hands that form the mountains. Your hands set boundaries for the seas. And in your hands you hold tomorrow. The same hands that took the nails for me. For every song,
Sister Karen, I'd rather see Justin singing for the Lord than signing basketball scholarships and tennis shoe endorsements. That's something right there that money can't buy. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning. As Brother Donnie said in one of his messages at family camp, you've come too late to tell me that Jesus is not real. You've come too late to tell me that Jesus does not heal. You've come too late to tell me that Jesus ain't still saving souls. He's still on the throne and he's still God. Do you mean there's power in the name of Jesus? Amen. Let's sing about it this morning.
Let's see, I done forgot it too.
There's still power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain.
Even in 2014, there's still power. Amen. When the world tells us there ain't even a God no more and there ain't hardly anybody serving him more, thank God he's got somebody. Amen. Let the redeemed say so. Those who has redeemed from the hand of their enemy, let the redeemed say so. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we want to go to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. Wasn't that a tremendous song service? Brother, that was good. I travel all over the place. You don't hear many like that. Amen. Certainly appreciate our musicians and song service this morning. Appreciate that song. The songs that were sang this morning, just beautiful. Leviticus chapter 25. Last night we were speaking on words of redemption, restoration, and renewing, and those along that line. And I want to just pick up this morning and continue on, maybe just a little bit different direction, but the same thought line this morning. Now, Leviticus chapter 25, we'll start at verse 8. While I'm thinking about it, Brother Donnie texted me this morning and asked me that I would just greet you for him. And he said to tell you that he misses you. And I thought, I'm getting ready to preach, and I say, oh, we miss you. Ditto. Amen. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then thou shalt cause the trumpet. Notice who's going to cause this. You are. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. There's always something about that 10-7 in there. On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. So it's also a Jubilee, but it's also the Day of Atonement. And you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all of your land, the possession, your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return. There's is, return every man unto his possession. And you shall return every man unto his family. So it's redemption. It's three words. It's redemption, it's restoration, and it's a return back to what you had. Amen. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask him to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege, Lord. We deem it as a great opportunity to be able to come this morning. And we're asking that you would just come, Lord, as we look into your word. And we ask that you would take the bread as you did many years ago. And Lord, may you break the bread. And Lord, we know the scripture says that when the way that you broke it, the Bible said their eyes come open and they knew you. We ask, Lord, that you would just take this bread of life this morning, the things that you've laid upon our hearts now. And may you just take and break it to us, Lord. And may our eyes come open, Lord. And may there be a renewing. May there be a refreshing in the house of God this morning. Lord, may the shout of the King be in the camp, I pray. May the Holy Spirit just have liberty this morning, Lord. And anything that's unlike you, we ask that you would just drive it from the building now. And Father, that you could just come among us, Lord. May the angels of God walk the aisles, Lord. May they be gathered around. We know they're here this morning. Help us, Lord, as the angels have done their part. Lord, you've sent your word and done your part. Now may we surrender ourselves that you can come and do something great this morning. We ask, Lord, for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to just pick this up, and I'm just excited to be here this morning and being able just to deliver our heart. Well, just to be honest with you, I can't wait to hear what's going to come out of my mouth. Amen. Because I know when God gets ready to say something, it's going to be good. We know that God being such a great redeemer, and we know that how that he would have never have let sin, he would have never have let sickness, he would never have let unbelief come in, had he not provided us a way beforehand, to be able to deliver us from what was going to come upon this earth. And we know that he's not just redeemer. He's not just telling the story of redemption. But remember that what brings redemption into full effect is actually restoration. You cannot have full redemption without restoration. And you can't have restoration without first coming by redemption. And so God uses it one with the other. They both work together. And we know he's more than just a restorer, but yet even a redeemer. And God would have never have let the squatter come upon our property of today, this world, this earth, which is our possession, had God had not already made a way back for every son and daughter of God. I hope you believe that this morning. But we understand that something has got to trigger that part of God's attribute. Him being a redeemer, him being a restorer, something has got to pull that part of him out of him. Something has got to fulfill God. And we know that we say that we want to be full of God, but yet you realize God has to come to fulfillment. Something has to pull upon him. He's a great healer, but yet he can't heal somebody lest somebody would be sick. He can't redeem somebody and somebody pull upon that attribute of redemption unless somebody would have been lost. And the same thing occurs with redemption. Something had to be taken away. Something had to have a squatter's rights to come and live upon in order for God to restore it and redeem it back to us. Now the scripture tells us, even in the book of Acts, how that there would come a time, and it begins to prophesy to the Ephesian church and how there would come a time of refreshing. And not just a time of refreshing, but he also called it a time of restitution of all things. And that word restitution does mean restore. There's going to come a time of restoration of all things. And so God is telling us there is an appointment. There is a time of restoration that is coming upon us. There is a time, an age, if you'll allow me to say it that way, an age of restoration. And not only is there an age, but really the age only makes up the people that is in it. So there's coming a people of restoration. I trust you're one of them this morning. Now, it's more than just word. It's not just doctrine that God's trying to get us to see, but we must understand that somewhere within the script, you and I are included in this promise. We have to identify ourselves that it's more than just a mythical thought that would come to pass, but yet there's a reality of this scripture. When God said, "Behold, I send unto you," he had somebody upon his mind that he was going to send that to, and somebody's going to be the fulfillment of what God has said. Amen. Now notice the word has spoken promises that's concerning you. There is blessings that God has wrote concerning you. Things that you are included in. And we need to know what promises that we're included in. There's been a time allotted for full redemption to come into effect. There's a time that full restoration would be given. And that means whatever has been lost has to come back to its original owner. Now, notice even from the beginning how did God know that whatever had been taken, whatever rights had been stolen, that God must compensate the believer from what had been taken away from them. And we know he has to restore it back. If it's been stolen, I'll just tell you this, if it's stolen away, never fear, the Redeemer has his eye upon it. It's not stolen, but yet it's only not in your possession. It's not that it's been lost, that God don't know where it's at. It's just that you're not possessing that promise that God has given to you and put your name behind. It's not that the enemy can take and keep it forever, but Brother tells us he is only a squatter. He has no legal possession over one thing. They call it today in America, they call it squatter's rights, or the correct legal term would be adverse possession. Adverse possession. If a property would become abandoned and the squatters has a right, they could go in and gain control of the land. But in order to possess that land by an adverse possession, they must have a squat upon the land without the owner giving them possession. It's not a rented land. It's not a land that's been leased. But they actually come upon the land without permission from the original owner. Glory. And the squatter is declaring to the world, this portion of property, it belongs to me. And I'm claiming this land for myself. This land that I bought, I am claiming this land is mine. And the squatter will go through time and everything that he would build upon it, whether he be houses or barns or whatever it might be, he's declaring that this land is mine and nobody can take it away from me. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, I serve a Redeemer. And this Redeemer that I serve, he's faithful. Brother J.D., he's faithful and he's true to us. And his eye is upon us this morning. Oh, he has never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's never give up on you. We give up on one another. We give up on ourselves. We give up on friends. We give up on family. But let me tell you, God ain't never gave up on you. He has never thrown the towel in when it comes to your life. He has never quit serving you. He's never quit blessing you. He's never quit giving to you. It's us that has walked away from Him. But I'm talking about full restoration. That means if Satan has stole your peace, he must restore it back to us because he's a restorer. If Satan has robbed our joy, as David said last night, restore to me the joy. If he stole our, he can't steal our salvation. But he takes the joy that we have of serving him and the pleasure that we have of coming to the house of God and the pleasure we have of lifting our hands and singing in the spirit. Satan will rob you of that. And he will actually use adverse possession to keep you from the real praise that's in your heart. God don't want a church full of complainers. God don't want a church full of doubters. God don't want a dry church. Brother, I refuse to be a part of a dry church. We need a church that is in action. We need a people that's more than just professors. We need a church that's possessors this morning. Possessors of the rights that God has given to them. He wants people that's excited about serving God. Brother, if you don't want to become excited about it, God will put somebody else in your chair. If you don't want to believe this message, go ahead and leave. God's got somebody to take your pew. He's got somebody to take your place. If you don't want to serve Him, somebody else will. If you don't want to live for Him, God will pull somebody else in to take your place. There's times of restoration, times of refilling. We've been robbed. There's times that God will refreshing us by His presence. And He gives back what has been taken by sin. And whatever has failed because of sin in the beginning by the fall, God has to restore all of that back. In other words, to restore it means if Adam lost it, the sons of Adam must get it back. Amen, somebody. That means they will be a people of redemption, a people of restoration. See, He's a God of redemption when He says something, when God would speak. And when God speaks, it's so important to Scripture. When you see God make a proclamation, you must keep your eye upon what God has said. Because nothing can sway that promise from coming to pass. When God speaks it by His spoken word, that word must come to pass just as God said it would. And nothing can stop it from coming to pass. I don't care how much time goes by, that word's going to come to pass. I don't care how many ages have failed, how many days has went by. When God makes a declaration, it must come exactly the way He said it would. He's pronounced it. He's spoken it. He's declared it. You realize in the beginning when God put man upon the earth, He told man, I give you dominion. That's a proclamation of God. That's a declaration of His word. I give you dominion. He says in Genesis 1:26, we're very familiar with it. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them, hallelujah, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You know what He's telling us? A proclamation that man has been given dominion to rule upon this earth. The word dominion means rulership. It means authority. You're to have control over this earth. Amen. Over animal life. Over botany. Amen, somebody. Amen. over the trees, over the land, everything that I give you. I give you dominion over all of this earth. And that was Adam's position as a son of God. And once God declared, Adam may not fulfill that in time. He may not fulfill that from the garden. But that is a spoken word of God. Somewhere, in some age, that word has got to come to pass. Let me remind you this morning, Satan was not given a position in the Word. Satan has no inheritance coming. He has no position by the promises of God. He has no legal rights to nothing upon this earth. He has no inheritance. He only takes it by adverse possession. He only takes it by squatter's rights. But he has no legal possession by the spoken word to have authority over you. This earth has been given to Adam's seed, but Satan has taken it over. This earth belongs to the sons of God. We know in the future home, Brother Ram tells us this earth is an attribute of God. It belongs to God. But Lord, it's time that the squatter has brought a diminishing of what this earth really is. Sin has caused darkness to fall upon this earth. Brother, but never fear. The Redeemer has his eye upon it. The Restorer knows how to do his business. Because this earth is part of our inheritance. When it comes to the bride, he called us the earthly bride. He's telling you, this is your inheritance. This is what is yours. This is what I have given you. And nothing can stop you from claiming that. Even when it comes to Abraham. How that he tells Abraham, look to the north, look to that, look around you. Everything that your eye beholds, I give it unto you. But as far as natural possession, Brother Terry, he doesn't have a real claim to none of it. He has no legal possession. He doesn't have a deed. He doesn't have a title to prove that it's his. The only, but let me tell you, he's got something greater than man's titles. He's got something greater than man's laws. He's got a proclamation from Almighty God that this belongs to you and your seed is going to be like the stars that's in the heaven. Your seed is going to be like the sands that's up on the seashore. I give it to you, Abraham. I give it to you. It's your inheritance. It's your promise. It was Abraham's land by God's word. And nothing can change that fact. Nothing can stop that from being. Nothing can stop that from coming to pass. The land belongs to Abraham and his seed tonight, today. It's Abraham's inheritance. Now, we know there is an Old Testament law that comes with inheritance. And I want to take your minds there back to the book of Leviticus. And I want to remind you that if God has given you this land, there is a promise by God's word and God has already spoken it. And he tells them, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7. And he says 7 years, the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee, 49 years. That's adverse possession for 49 years. That's squatter's rights for 49 years. But then he said, then thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee. What shall cause? Thou shalt cause, in other words, the original possessor shall cause a trumpet to sound. Glory to God. And the Lord shall descend with a shout, a voice, and a trump. So it's the people that's causing the trumpet to sound. Hallelujah. It's the people's right. It's the believer's right. It's the law of God's word. And because they have lost it by adverse possession, it's God's word that they must restore it back unto them. God is prophetically speaking something. He's telling you and I something. He's letting you know there's a trumpet that's coming. And Paul said, underneath the last trump, underneath the last trump, we shall be changed. Mortal will put on immortality. Corruption will put on incorruption. What's it going to be? The last trump. Remember, there was always in the scripture, whenever it talks about trumpets, there's always three trumpets. First trumpet, second trumpet, and then the last trumpet. And when the military would be gathered around, the first trumpet would blow. And what that meant was this. Pull up your stakes. Gather all your things together. Because it's fixing to be time to leave. Then after a period of time, the second trumpet would sound. And what the second trumpet meant is, everybody needs to get in line. It means to get in line and stay in line. What are we doing in line? Waiting for that last trumpet. Glory to God. But when the last trumpet sounds, that last trumpet means that's marching orders. And Paul said, when the last trump shall sound, we shall be changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye. He said, thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month and the day of atonement. What's redemption? Ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all of your land. So the feast of the Lord in the Old Testament is a type of real things that was going to happen. You see that? In other words, the feast of the Passover was literally fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the Passover. Amen? But now he's telling us, after 7 Sabbaths. And Brother Ram said that means 7 church ages. There's a literal fulfillment of that feast that they was looking at. There's a spiritual fulfillment by natural to the Jews, but there's a supernatural fulfillment for the bride. This is a special day. It's a special time for a special people, because on the 10th day of the 7th month, there's an announcement made. And you can't have an announcement without having a voice present. Amen. And you shall howl at the 50th year. 50 means Pentecost. Refreshing, restoring, redemption, refilling. And you shall howl at the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. So under the 10th day of the 7th month, under 10-7, there's a restoration. Hallelujah. And it's a restoration of two things. It's a restoration of the land, and it's also a restoration of a man back to his original family. Glory to God. Back to his original seed line. Back to his original. The progenitor is going back to the progeny. Hallelujah. The man's going back to his offspring. I said he's coming back, brother. I said he's coming back for us. He's coming back to get us. Hallelujah. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow. Now watch what he shows us now. When you come to restoration, I want you to notice this. After 7 Sabbaths, there comes a time where it's not labor in the field. What I'm showing you is, we've left the law, and we've come under grace. And not just grace, but grace. You shall not sow. That's not working. This ain't going to be something you merit by works. You shall not sow, neither shall you reap that which groweth in itself, nor gather the grapes in the vine that's undressed. For it is a jubilee unto you, and it shall be holy, and you shall eat the increase. You shall eat the increase. There's going to be a, listen, during the time of restoration, the time of jubilee, we are going to be feeding upon something. The increase of the field, the increase of the harvest, is what we're going to feed upon. And this year of jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. 6 years we labor. 6 years we work. 6 years we plant. But on this 50th year, on this 7th month, you would plant nothing. You only eat the increase of the field. So that means it's not a planting season. This ain't the Ephesus church age. It's not a planting season. It's a reaping season. It's a harvest time. It's a harvest season. And there's a people of the harvest that receives the fruit of the land. He calls it the time of jubilee. Oh my, I know it's verse 13. In the year of jubilee shall you return every man to his possession. And thou shalt sow, and if thou, now watch the law. If thou shalt sow aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. You shall not oppress one another. Bride, don't persecute bride. And the fact of it is, the bride don't persecute nobody. according to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. I love that. He shall sell unto thee. In other words, whether he's got doubts or not, it doesn't matter. Whether he wants to or not, he's been told by God, you must sell the land. According to the number of years, the fruits he shall sell unto thee. He said, according to the multitude of years, thou the increase of the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years, the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Notice, if a man sells the land due to a debt that he has received, listen, the man that he sells it to can't resell the land to somebody else. Hallelujah. Now, notice he must take possession of the land to fulfill the debt that had been committed by the man. And I'll tell you, before sin came, before the fall came, we already had an inheritance written in the mind of God. But just because we got put into this debt, and we've had to sell out. I said we've been sold out. We've been sold out. Because of this debt, we've lost our land. But I want to remind you, the inheritance can't be lost. It may get some squatters on it, but you can't lose it. We may lose the fruits of the field for seven church ages. It may go down through a dark period, but you cannot lose the inheritance. I want to say that this morning. That's on my heart. You cannot lose your inheritance. I don't care how much time goes by. Listen now. I don't care how many mistakes you make, how much trouble that you have, how much sin you committed. You cannot lose your inheritance. It doesn't matter what the squatter thinks about it. It don't matter what kind of adverse possession it's under. You, as a believer, there is no way you can lose your inheritance. I know. That's too much grace for some people. But brother, that just makes me love him more. Hallelujah. You cannot lose your inheritance. See, in this time of the scripture, if a man gets to a place where he gets in the debt and he can't get out, he must sell out to his neighbor. And once he becomes sold out, if the land isn't enough to cover his debt, watch now, if the land's not enough, he must sell himself into the debt of someone else. Amen, somebody. That means he's going to be under the rule of somebody else. He's going to do somebody else's desires, somebody else's work, somebody else's mind, working somebody else's field. It was his at one time, but he lost it due to the fall. Come on, somebody. So the property now that he did own, that he was lord over, now he's working for somebody else on his old property. So his labor is to benefit somebody else. His labor is to help somebody else. But notice, when the Jubilee come, which is also the Day of Atonement, it's a time of going back. He can go down to the man that he has sold out to. Well, that just makes me feel good. I said, you can go down to that person that you've been sold out to. And you can look that squatter right in the eye. And he is sitting in your recliner. He's eating off of your plate. He's drinking out of your cups. He's eating with your fork. You can go to him and say, this land is mine. By the word of Almighty God, I claim a rightful position. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And God's word will back up that son of God's. He will back up his word because he is the original possessor. He is the, oh hallelujah, he is the original, and he must restore it back. Let me preach a minute. This man doesn't pay to do this. This ain't done by works. You need to forget about your old stinking works. This land was always his. This land always belonged to him. It's his divine inheritance. It's his land. He has a title deed to it by the word of God.
He receives it without money. He receives it without price. He receives it without efforts of his works. It ain't how much you pray. It ain't how much you read your Bible. But if you're a possessor, it'll make you want to read about what God has given you. Hallelujah! It'll make you want to read about what God has done for you. Oh, glory. When the day of Jubilee comes, what a blessed day that is. When that year of Jubilee comes, you realize all that man has to do, if he sold a net, he can just go and sit and wait. What you waiting on? Waiting on the year of Jubilee. What you waiting for? Time of atonement. Time of refreshing. Time of restitution. And God proclaims to them, this is only going to last so long. And that's what I want to remind you of this morning. This is only going to last so long. Don't never lose the vision of that. Never lose your expectation of that. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants to try and diminish our expectation of what God has in store for us. And he wants to put it so far in front of us that you feel like, man, there's no way I'll ever see the body change. I'll never see the rapture. That's a lie this morning. Because we which are alive and remain. What's that mean? Those who standing on the promise, those who standing on the word of God, will see him when he comes. This age will only last so long. This time will only last so long. Oh, let me preach to you a minute. Your sickness can only last so long. Hallelujah. These diseases will only last so long. This Eden will only last so long. And God made a promise to my daddy Abraham. He said that his seed would possess the gates of his enemy. Brother, I believe this with all of my heart. We are what Abraham had thought of when he looked at the stars. He was looking at you. When he looked at the sands on the seashore, he was looking at you. You see the picture we're looking at. It's very beautiful. Remember, he told Adam, have dominion over the earth. That's a promise. That's his word. But then after the promise came, Adam sold out to the debtor. Amen. He sold out. But notice, he didn't just sell himself out. He sold the entire human race out. He sold the human race. He sold the land. And the land went into the possession of the enemy. Amen. Because of adverse possession, it went into possession of the enemy. Remember, at that time, Balaam tells us that Adam had the title deed to the earth in his hands. And that squatter wanted the rights to that book. He wanted the rights to that title deed. He wants that book. He wants to know what the mystery is. He wants to know what lays within it. But Barim said in the breach that the book went back into the hands of the original owner. But I'm going to tell you that can only last so long. Because he's already proclamated that you will rule and have dominion upon this earth. And you can't have dominion without a book coming open. You can't have a dominion without the seals being torn off. There's no dominion until you get to the age of restoration and restitution. It couldn't have happened in Paul's day. The book had to come open. Couldn't have happened in Irenaeus' day. The book, the seals had to come open and the mystery had to be opened. He sold out the land and went into the possession of another. And he said, seven Sabbaths a year, so being to thee 49 years. So 6,000 years has been went by. And it's been in the possession, on adverse possession. It's been in the hands of a squatter. But now we've come back to the Jubilee. And that's what I want to title this morning. I want to call it the Bride's Jubilee. I've heard of Israel's Jubilee. But I want to talk about a time that everything goes back to the original possessor. The original owner I want to talk about a people who is the seed of Abraham that stands upon this earth and possesses the gates of their enemy. God ain't forgot his promises this morning. Hey, let me just tell Satan this morning, his time is up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We know Satan's around. We know he's listening. He streams better than anybody in this message. He streams on Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday. He streams your Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesday. He streams your life every day. And he sees by where we are coming to under the revealed word of the hour. We're to the place that his time is up. Hallelujah. His time as adverse possession is over. Don't you know that's why? When it comes to the New Testament from the law, and it comes into grace, and John gets caught up into our day on the Isle of Patmos, that in Revelation chapter 1, when John was talking about the people of God, he called us kings and priests. Because a king possesses a natural dominion. Oh, somebody shout with me right there. A king rules. He reigns over a natural possession. But he didn't just call us kings. He called us priests. And priests have a spiritual dominion. Hallelujah, somebody. Remember, it's a dominion over that fourth dimension where sickness, radio, television, where they come through at. He tells us under a spiritual reign, you will be able to possess the gates of that fourth dimension. And by overcoming the fourth, you have defeated the fifth dimension. Woo, glory, that's good. Well, that come right out of the oven, right down hot. Woo. See, in the book of Genesis, the possession was lost. But in the book of Revelation, it becomes back and restores. He restores everything back to what Adam lost. Notice Leviticus 25:24 says, in all the land of possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Now notice kings and priests. Not only will there going to be a possession back of what's yours, but the land gets a redemption. Do you see it? The earth receives something back. It's already been in the process for 6,000 years. It's been baptized. It's had the blood dripped upon it. But the trees are groaning this morning. Botany life is groaning. What are they waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for children of God, kings and priests, to take back what's rightfully theirs by the word. Setting up the law. What's the law is you're going to get it back. And by this law, he's actually displaying his attributes of Redeemer. He's prophesying and foretelling this is redemption. This is a Redeemer. This is restoring. This is a refreshing time. Whoo, glory. See, you can't redeem something unless it had been lost. You can't restore something had it not been there at one time before somewhere. Redemption, restoration, restore. Hallelujah. God's always saying by this law, he's telling us by fact, man cannot lose his rights of inheritance. Watch verse 25. If thy brother waxen poor and has sold some of his possession, if any of his kin come to redeem it, watch what he's saying. If any of his kin come to redeem it, then he shall redeem that which his brother sold. And if a man have not to redeem it and himself able to redeem it, then let the count of the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus of the man to whom he sold it, that he may return upon his possession. But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until. Well, that ain't eternal. That's just until. Until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it shall go out and he shall return unto his possession. So when the Jubilee comes, you don't buy it back. It's given back to you. It's not by works. This restoration of the land is given back to him free of charge. What does that mean? It's not something you earn. It's grace. Unmerited grace. Not how much you labor, not how much you work. There's nothing you can do to get your inheritance back. There's no deeds you can do to get it back. All the work of your hands is only for the possession of whoever has owned it at that time. You're not receiving the benefits of it. You're not receiving the fruits of your labor. You're working for somebody else. But he's telling us there's going to come a time that your works won't be good enough. Your labors won't be good enough. But God is making a proclamation. I'm going to give it back to you. God is saying this because he's got the original promise in mind when he's declaring this law. He's got the original title deed in his hand, and he's looking at that title deed, and he knows there's a squatter upon this earth, and he is proclaiming that this deed will not always be in my hand. This dominion won't always just be me as Lord over or Lord with, but there's going to come a time I'm going to enter into my possession. I want to come down into my people, and they will be the people of restoration. That's why I tell you today, don't you never give up on your inheritance. Brother, I don't care how much time goes by, don't you ever give up on your inheritance. And I'll tell you, I got some inheritance and you got some inheritance. And I'm told by the word of God that my family is my inheritance. My children, Brother Terry, they're my inheritance. They belong to me. Amen, somebody. If you've raised your kids according to the fear of God and you've raised them to believe it, brother and sister, don't you never give up on that inheritance. Those children belong to you. And I stand as a son of God to let you know it will not always be this way. I said it won't always be this way. There's coming a time of jubilee that your family will be restored back to you. Your children will be brought back to the altar. They'll be brought back to this place to restore them back. Oh, mom, oh, daddy, don't you give up on your children. They may stray for a while. They may be sold out to something else. They may be lost to you. But let me tell you, God's got his eye on them this morning. And the great restorer of heavens and earth will bring them back to bended knee. Care what no preacher says, they're mine. But David, you can't save nobody. I'm not saying I can, but my Redeemer's faithful. Care what you think. I don't care how many quotes you got. I ain't giving up on them. I ain't giving the devil my inheritance. I ain't giving the devil my seed. I'm a priest. Hallelujah. I'm a king. I'm a priest, and I've been made to rule, and I claim them as mine. If you don't believe that, look at your life. Think of how many of the ways that you went astray. Think about how long you was in the world. Preach with me, somebody. Think about how many things you sold out to. You may have been sold out to drugs, sold out to alcohol, sold out to just religion, sold out to denomination or a creed. But I serve a God who is a mighty restorer, and all at all cost, at all cost, my King, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Restorer, my Refresher, my God will bring them back. It's a law of inheritance. And it can't be lost. Amen. Even the scripture goes into it. I ain't got time to get into it. But even the scripture goes, and if a man would die, send the inheritance down to his son. If you don't have a son, send it to his daughters. If you don't have a daughter, send it to his brother. If you don't have a brother, send it to the next of kin. Why does it take so much time for the JD to go through all of that? Because he's letting you know, if God give it to him, it can't be lost. Don't miss it now. No matter how many generations down the line has to come up to be akin to that promise, it belongs to him, and you're restoring it back because it's his blood relation. I said it's his blood relation. Make sure it stays in the family. Hallelujah. This is a great inheritance. Make sure it stays with my people. In my family. Underneath the family name. Can't be lost. Somewhere in that family line, there's a jubilee coming. God, let me say it better than that. Somewhere down this lineage, there's going to be a Jubilee come. And the inheritance would be kept for that time of Jubilee. It isn't for Ephesus. It wasn't for Pergamos. It wasn't for Thyatira. It wasn't for the wild horse rider. It wasn't for the red horse rider or the black horse rider or even the pale horse rider that we're fighting now. Come on, somebody. It comes down to the next of kin. And Satan has been watching all of this. And he knows his days is numbered. He knows his time is up. He knows that we are winding down. He has seen this 6,000 years has come by. And God is always basing upon 777. And he knows we're approaching a millennium. He knows we're approaching a rest. So you know what he did? He met the last Adam whenever he went to the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible said he took him up on a high pinnacle and said, I'll give you all of these kingdoms right here. I'll give you every bit of it. You won't have to wait till the Jubilee. I'll give it to you right now. Isn't that just odd? An adverse possessor is talking to the original possessor. And he's telling the original possessor, I'll just give it back to you right now. You won't have to wait for the day of Jubilee. You won't have to wait. I'll give it all back to you right now. I'll give you the land. I'll give you the people. I'll give you the trees. I'll give you the flowers and the plants. I'll give you the wind. I'll give you it all back to you. You just got to do one thing for me. Come on, somebody. You won't have to wait. But Jesus refused. Jesus was never a natural possessor of things. He never built up wealth. Think about this. He never built up land and houses. Because he knew there's a Jubilee coming. There was a time of redemption and restoration coming. And Jesus never did possess anything upon this earth. When he came to this earth, he borrowed a woman's womb just to get here. He borrowed a stable to be born in. He borrowed a swaddling cloth to be wrapped up in. And when he died, he borrowed a tomb to be buried in. And the reason why he borrowed it is because he was only going to need it for about 3 days. Hallelujah! He wasn't going to need it forever. He only needed to borrow it just for a few days. Hallelujah! Oh God, Jesus was only a grave borrower. And if you have been baptized into his name and you are full of his spirit, we are only great borrowers as well. Woo, hallelujah. Brother, if you go before the rapture gets here and somebody buys apostle ground, we have to buy it to put them into. But let me tell you, you may buy it naturally. You're only borrowing that piece of land. You may buy a plot, but if you're a part of this kingdom, you're only borrowing it. When the deed gets taken and the book comes open and he comes to claim his own, you won't need that ring no more. If you lost a loved one, I lost my sister at 25 years old a few years back. And we took her young body and we placed it in that ground. But I'm going to tell you something. I only placed it there temporarily. It's come to me this morning on the way to church. I thought of this. I said, no wonder Paul said, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. You know what come to me? We sorrow not as those don't have no Jubilee. We don't cry like those that don't have no hope. What is the hope? It's the coming of the Lord, Brother Ram said. We don't sorrow those that have no Jubilee, those who have no inheritance, those who have no promise. We don't cry like they do. They're only borrowing that tomb. God's always been a borrower. He borrowed a tree up on Mount Sinai to speak to Moses. He borrowed a cloud to lead his children. He borrowed Moses to speak to Pharaoh. I'm coming to you. Hang on, somebody. He borrowed a womb to be able to be produced, to able to birth his original seed. And when it comes time to the Jubilee, he's only going to borrow again. No prophet could break the seals. No man in heaven, no man under the earth, no man had a right to do it. But Brother Ram tells us in the message, the true Easter seal. I want you to notice this quote. And the true Easter seal, Brother Ram said, you'll just see if he's still a high priest. He can be touched by the feelings of your infirmity. I've never seen him alive. You're a stranger to me. I know nothing of you. But God knows you. If he can reveal to me by his Holy Spirit, the resurrected Christ who comes here and gives me a temporary resurrection. By my spirit, that's my spirit goes away. His spirit comes in to let you know whether he's alive or not. I don't know you. That's me and my spirit. We don't know you, but watch. But he knows you. And he wants to borrow my body. Lord to God. He wants to borrow my body to prove that he's the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah! He had to break the seals, borrow in a man's body. I want you to notice in Micah chapter 4 verse 10 in a hurry. Micah said, but in pain and in labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. Watch the sequence now. He's telling them, you're going to leave the city. And not only are you going to leave the city, you're going to also leave the field. And when you leave the field, you're going to go right back into Babylon. Now notice, Israel lost Jerusalem. And then, after they lost Jerusalem, the city, they become scattered through the fields. But notice, after they're scattered in the field, they become gathered back together. But when they come together, they gather themselves into Babylon. Think about that. The gospel started in a Babylon state. A Babylon condition. They lost the city, so they had to flee the fields. But notice, they end up in Babylon. And you would say, how can this great, precious gospel that we believe, how can it end up in Babylon? Babylon is the enemy's land. Babylon is the enemy's property. Come on, somebody. How can it end up in mystery Babylon? But let me give you the rest of it. Verse 10. And there thou shalt be delivered. There thou shalt be delivered. There the Lord shall, watch the word, redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Look what God did. He took the gospel right to Mother Babylon. And he actually put her right into the hands of the enemy. He put her right into the depths of unbelief, right into the depths of sin. And he's letting them know, you won't stay there, but I'll bring you back out of it. I'm going to redeem you from the grip of the enemy. I'm going to redeem you from the debt that you're sold into. A place that looks impossible. A place that looks like there's no way that a people can come out of that victorious. Looks like there's no way that a people can come out overcomers. But God makes a declaration that I shall redeem you from the hand of your enemy. It looks impossible, but there is going to be a word-born bride in the end time. It may look impossible, but there is going to be light in the middle of the darkness. There is going to be sanity in the middle of chaos. There's going to be happiness in the middle of sadness. There's going to be restoration in the middle of destruction. Hallelujah. There's going to be people stand right in the presence of Babylon and stand on the word of God. God started restoring it back through Babylon. And he raises up Paul right on down to Martin and realizes that Martin Luther protested Babylon. He went right to the door and tacked a 95 theses right on the door. I said, right in the middle of Babylon, right in the middle of the grips of the enemy, I said, there's a conqueror raising up in the middle of trouble, in the middle of times of trouble. Here comes a man that stands on the word of God. I don't care what that priest said down at that meeting. When he tells us that Martin Luther's protest is over, he's a bold-faced liar, and you can tell him I said so. Amen. He tried to make it the theme of one problem. One problem. That ain't what he wrote. He had 95 problems with the Catholic Church. He had 95 problems with that spirit. You may want to make it sound precious and holy and sweet, and we're all coming together and we're going to sing sweet lullabies by the campfire and kumbaya. I'm going to tell you right now, there is more to this protest than just one. There's a whole scripture full of it. We refuse to bow before Babylon. He found out the Catholic Church was trying to tell people there's a hotel between hell and earth. They called it purgatory. And Martin Luther said, there ain't no hotel down there. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. If you're a seed of God, you don't go to hell anyway. If you're, hallelujah! If you're a child of God, you can't be lost anyway. Woo, hallelujah. He preached a just shall live by faith, and all of a sudden God raises up a Wesley. And he preaches sanctification. Then come along Pentecost, preach the restoration of the gifts. Amen. Until finally seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee. And the 49th year becomes fulfilled. And the Lamb descended from heaven, a mighty angel descended from heaven with a shout. And he had a little book in his hand. And that little book wasn't closed, it wasn't sealed, it was open. When did it happen? 10th day of the 7th month. Can I read it to you? In the days of the voice of the 7th angel. Revelation 10:7. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery shall be finished. Mystery Babylon shall be known. The man of sin is going to be known. The lies of the enemy shall be known. But also the property that belongs to every son and daughter of God. It shall be revealed too. Right in the middle of this chaos, God raises up a voice. What's the voice doing? Reminding you of your inheritance. He's telling you, you're not of Laodicea. You're not of this darkness. You're not from dogmas. You're not from creeds. You have an inheritance as a son of God. Hallelujah. You know what happened? The eagle screamed. In the middle of Babylon, the eagle screamed. Hallelujah. In the middle of mystery Babylon, you heard an eagle screaming and said, come up higher, John. They don't understand. Under the Jubilee, the mystery becomes finished. The mystery comes to an end. And Brother Bram says it like this in the Church Age book. He said, and he starts quoting the scripture. He said, now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent a son made of a woman, made under the law. He said to redeem them that was under the law. That we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. You're no more in the field as a servant. No, the person of Jubilee comes by. He said, you're not a servant no more, but you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir through Christ. He came in an hour called restoration to restore us back. Think about that. He came in an hour of restoring to bring you back. And he lets you know it's going to be without money, without cost, without price, that you might receive the adoption of sons. You know, adoption is your right as a son. And he declared it in the little book what your rights really was. Amen, somebody. See, that's the reason I tell you this morning. God did not give you the Holy Ghost to make you a son of God. God gave you the Holy Ghost because you always was a son of God. He's not making you something that you're not. He gives it to you because of what you always was. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Do you know what iniquity means? Amen. You know you did it. Don't, this means yes in Tennessee, and this means no. You know you did it. You know you was guilty of it. You know you got served into it. Come on, somebody. But he said, I'm going to redeem us from all iniquity. This is what we must receive this morning. We look down on ourselves. We see ourselves as useless. We see ourselves as victims of our lives. But you realize, friends, that's the way we look at ourselves. But it's like the man that had the $20 bill in his hand. And he said, young man, would you like that $20 bill? And the young man said, yeah, I like that $20 bill. And he took it and he crumpled it up. He said, you want it now? He went, and he threw it on the ground. He went, do you want it now? He rubbed it in the dirt and it got all dirty. And he picked it up full of dirt. And he said, you want it now? And he went, you know why he wants it? Because he knows the value of it. Hallelujah! He knows even though it's dirty, it's still worth something. You may be crumbled up, you may be down, but you are still worth something to God. You may be downtrodden, you may be sick, you may have disease, but you are still worth something to Almighty God. And that's the way we was, trodden underfoot, kicked down, dirty, filthy. But it don't matter how dirty you are when the Jubilee sounds. We're going back. Don't matter how much Laodicea has beat you up. You're going back. And you're not just going back with your head down. But the Bible said he that overcomes. Which means the restorer is going to pick your chin up. He's going to press your chest out. Because you stood in this day. You've got a right to stand. But I'm going to tell you right now, we will go through some things. How many knows that calm seas don't make good sailors? I said calm seas don't make good sailors. There's times that you and I are going to be thrashed to and fro. We'll be trodden underfoot. But we will overcome. It's already been spoken. John in Revelation chapter 5. It shows us that John is weeping. He's crying. And he notices that within that book is every man's possession. And he said, no man can take this book and open it. It's the title deed to the earth. It belongs to the original owners. But the problem of it was, is it was sealed up, and John knew that it was sealed. And he knew if the book doesn't come open, his inheritance would be lost, because that's the book that Adam had. And that book has got to be back to the original owner. And the Bible says that John turned to see the line of the tribe of Judah, which represents judge. Amen, somebody. He was turning expecting judgment to come. He was turning expecting judgment to be pronounced, an indictment, a destruction. Are you with me now? But when he turned to see the line, he heard a... There was a lamb, but not just a lamb. A lamb that had been slain, whose words was dripping with blood. And John, oh God, and he seen him come and take the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And one of the elders said, John, don't cry no more. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He's looking at a lamb, but the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He's been found worthy to open and take the book and to break the seals off of your inheritance, John. And Brother Ram said, when the lamb took that book and he opened those seals, Brother Ram tells us in the breach that John must have seen his name on there. And John come to church and he folded his arms and he rode his lip way out there and he just couldn't wait till the service was over. Man, I got football tonight. Man, I got so many things going on. John didn't sit there sad. He didn't sit there despondent. But the Bible says that I, John, begin to scream. And I begin to holler and scream. And everything in heaven and earth and under the earth heard I, John! Why? John got emotional when the book got taken. John got excited, brother, when the book come open. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! He's seen the kinsman come forth with the book in his hand. And John peeped over there in it and went, oh, that's my name! That's my name! Glory to God! That's my name! What must it be when the Lamb come and broke the seals in this day and he began to reveal the mysteries of God? And the last mystery that he revealed was who you are, what your possession is, what land belongs to you, what your inheritance is. I'll just read it to you because I'm just about to lose it right here. But I feel some Jesus on that. Amen. He said, we got a kinsman in heaven that's come forth to make his claims. And they sang a new song. There ain't nothing more refreshing than a new song in a church. I mean, that's right. And the reason they sang a new song, because the rest of the songs is about what had happened at Calvary. But this new song is about what's going on right now. See, when you come into the revelation of the hour, there's somebody becomes inspired to write some new songs about. And he said, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to our God by thy blood. Watch this. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Don't matter if you're white. Don't matter if you're black. Don't matter if you're red. Don't matter if you speak Spanish or English or French. He has redeemed you by his blood. And he's made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. The mystery becomes open and he's saying, you're getting your land back. I said, you're getting your land back. They wanted to come back here and they're going back to the kings and priests. Glory to God. Everyone said, I feel good enough to speak in tongues. I concur. And it seems like I ain't got enough language that I can praise him with. I need one that I don't even know. That tells me that when Brother Branham saw it, he started feeling the same way that John did. And if John felt that way, and Brother Branham felt that way, what will it make you and I do? What will it do to us? Hallelujah! Let me close with this. Next statement. Oh, listen, what a jubilee going on. What did them say was happening? Jubilee. When they seen that lamb come and take the book of redemption, the soul screamed out, we'll get it. All the elders fell down. They poured out their prayers of the saints. They represented by kinsmen fell on their faces. They sang a new song. Thou art worthy, for you were slain. Look at these angels. Behold, I heard the voice of many angels ran about the throne of the beast of the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10, thousands of thousands. Woo, notice it. Sang with a loud voice. Well, Brother David, Jesus never got loud. Jesus never did get excited. No, but everything Jesus touched did.
Hallelujah! Glory to God! Everything he touched got excited! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, watch the quote now. What a jubilee going on in heaven. The Lamb leaves the intercessor box to come here to possess his claim. You know that got next to John. And if I remember right, Brother Bram said John is a type of the... He must have saw his name wrote there when the seals broke. He must have got real happy. Isn't it amazing that when this was written, Brother Ram kept saying it over and over. He got excited. He got happy. He sang. He shouted. I feel like talking in tongues. Woo, glory. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, underneath the earth, the sea, such are in the sea, in them as in them, heard me, I say, blessing, honor, glory, power to him that sits. And to the Lamb forever, amen. So be it, so be it, so be it. And the four beasts of the amen, the four elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever. You talk about a jubilee. Third time he said it. How many times has he got to tell us? You talking about a jubilee. You talking about a jubilee. You talk about a time when that Lamb walked forth. The book's even sealed in heaven. The mysteries are. Say, is my name in there? I don't know, but I hope it is. But if it is, it was put there before the foundation of the world. And the first thing that represented that redemption come forth, the Lamb that had been slain for the foundation of the world. And he took the book, opened the book, and tore off the seals and sent it down to earth to the seventh angel to reveal it to his people. Oh, I just going to have to say that one more time. And he took the book and he opened the book. The hands of the shepherd that has massaged you and kept you, those hands opened that book. Hallelujah! It opened the book, tore the seals off. What are you going to do with that book now, God? Here, Brother Branham. I want you to go back to Jeffersonville. And I want you to tell them what's happened right here. And he sent it down to the seventh angel to reveal it to the people. What happened? Oh, I love the prophecy here. The screams. The shouts. The hallelujahs. The anointed. The power. The glory. Watch, don't miss it now. The manifestation. The manifestation. The people, the bride's jubilee. It's a people's jubilee. And thou shalt redeem it. And thou shalt cause the trumpet to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month when the 7th angel begins to reveal the book to the people. You talk about a happy time. But Rem said, when those seals broke open, he must have looked in the past and seen beyond the curtain of time and said, there's John. I want to ask you what you see. Brother David, I see Brother Donnie. I see him plain as day. I looked there and I've seen Brother Donnie. Brother Donnie's there. I know Brother Donnie's there. What about you? Brother David, I know Brother Bram's there. I mean, I know he's there. I know he's going to be there. What about you? Have you saw you in the book? Has it become a reflection of who you are? Is it just stories? Is it just hunting stories and fishing stories? Is it just a Bible? Is it just a message? Or is it a bride's jubilee? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to the original owner. But it's judgment to the unbeliever. It's a hallelujah if you're a part of it. It's a oh dear Lord if you're not. The bride's jubilee. Let's stand our feet this morning. God bless you. Oh, I just love him with all of my heart. Don't you just appreciate him? Brother and sister, I don't know about you, but I want to know how it's going to feel when I walk down those streets of God. I want to know how it feels when I meet him for the first time. What would I do when I sing? As the song says, would I dance? Would I shout? Would I talk in tongues? Would I be able to say anything at all? What would I do? I want to know how it feels. We've heard it talked about. We've heard it preached about. We've heard it sang about. But I want to be the manifestation to know, what does it really feel like? Brother Larry, I want to know. I want it more than just saying I'm in the message and I've been around the message. I preach the message. I want to be the manifestation of what John saw. As a legal owner, I'm coming to take what's mine back. I want the devil to know that this morning. Satan's time is up. His time is over. The rightful heirs are on the scene. The people of the open book. The people of restoration. The people of redemption. We've arrived. Sing, would you sing that song, I Want to Know How It Feels to Walk Down? Can you sing that? Brother, I want to know. Brother, what are you going to do? I don't know, but I wouldn't be real close if I was you. Because if you think John threw a fit. When I look at all the mistakes I've made, the times I've given up on me over and over again, when I look at myself and I say, useless. So many faults, so many problems, so many trials. Remember that Sister Bruce that came to Brother Branham? And she said, Brother Branham, I've got this wrong, I've got that wrong, I've done this wrong, I've done that wrong. And Brother Branham says, such a godly little woman. You may have misunderstood me. I've done this, I've done that, I've made this mistake. I know better than to do this. Such a godly little woman. And Brother Branham says, what I told her is this. You can't look at what you've done. And the church said, look what your desire is.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what your desire is.
And you'll know who you belong to. I read last night before I come to church, Brother Ram in the middle of the prayer line, he said, son, the devil's told you, you've crossed that separating line of unbelief. You've crossed that line and you can't come back. He said, I want to tell you the truth, that ain't right. That devil's lying to you. He said, you realize if you still have a desire to come here, you ain't went too far yet. He hasn't left you. Brother, if you crossed that line, you wouldn't want to be nowhere near this building. The original possessor.
Well, I want to know how it feels.
All right.
To make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels. To have a talk with the saints of gold. I've heard of heaven, and I know that it's real.
keep believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, my soul wants to fly.
As children of God, you're living in the time of the Jubilee. Don't give up on the promise, brother. Don't never give up on the promise. You believe it's for you. God bless you. Love you with all of our hearts. We'll let you be dismissed. Brother Harry, Brother Joe, would you sing a song? I'm going to keep pressing on. Would y'all sing that? I'm going to keep pressing on while we're dismissed. I think this would be a good song to leave on. I pray when Brother Donnie comes back here, he'll think, man, what has been going on in this building? And you can say, they sent some jars. Peek over to the book. And I saw John. I saw John in that book. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh my,
can I sing one verse or something else first?
Oh, let's sing it, man.
After this, I can't help but sing this. I am redeemed.
Oh, yes! How many can identify with it?
He set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. Cause I'm not. I am redeemed.
You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Why put away every stain? I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been. Of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet.
Just say
little bride.